Welcome back to News and Views. Joel Heitkamp, your host. Abby Miller, your producer. Yesterday, if you were listening to News and Views, we had individuals on who were, they had been to Moorhead, Minnesota, and they were heading to Fargo, North Dakota. And the reason was they talked to the Moorhead City Council and they were going to talk to the Fargo City Commission, which they did last night. And they wanted the city of Fargo to come out for and support a ceasefire in Gaza. They wanted basically to have the city of Fargo send a message that they wanted a ceasefire. That failed last night. That motion in front of the Fargo City Commission failed 2-2. One of the people that voted no, we asked to come in, and she did. And that's Fargo City Commissioner Denise Kolpak. Good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel. Good to be here.
You were a no vote. Why?
I was a no vote because I do not think that the city of Fargo has the authority to intervene in a global conflict. And I don't think it's why we were elected to take on national and international issues. And I take my oath and this nonpartisan office very seriously. And as I do that, I listen to all Fargoans. I had several meetings with members of this activist community and the other side of the issue over the last 6 weeks. And I listen to all of them. Anyone who reaches out, I will meet with. But in the end of the day, in the other conversations I had with Fargo residents, by far the majority of citizens said, stay out of this issue. It's not a city commission issue.
Okay. So then I have to ask this question, which is, you know, when Ukraine was attacked by Russia, the city of Fargo appeared to take a strong stance in support of Ukraine. I mean, I remember the lighting. I remember all of that, which, quite frankly, made me proud to work in Fargo. Mm-hmm. But didn't you then take a position on a global conflict?
The city commission did. I was not a member at the time of the city commission for that proclamation. But that proclamation was very specific, and it was about doing business in Russia and not, you know, making sure that the city of Fargo was doing no business in Russia. That was the tenor of that proclamation. It wasn't for a ceasefire or asking another government to take action.
So you weren't on the city commission, but would you have voted for that?
I wasn't part of the debate. You know, again, that was a very narrow request, and it wasn't asking for a ceasefire. So I would have to have been part of the debate to have made up my mind and talked to citizens at the time about that issue, just like I did in this issue. So I can't answer that, honestly, because I wasn't part of that conversation.
I have to ask this. Why? I mean, the issues that you have in front of you, a city that's growing by leaps and bounds, and a city that has all of these different issues to deal with, property tax and everything.
Right.
This is an issue. I mean, the issue comes forth by Fargoans, by individuals that want the city of Fargo heard. I get that. But I guess what I'm getting at is this. At times, things like this take all the air out of the room. You know, they do. We all know that if the city of Fargo calls for a ceasefire in Gaza, that's not going to make Benjamin Netanyahu say, okay, Fargo called for a ceasefire. I mean, it's not going to make President Biden change his position and get more aggressive against Benjamin Netanyahu. I firmly believe that. And so when these issues come up, is it ever frustrating to say or to hear that, look, this is something we have to deal with, I get it, but should we even be focusing on this?
You know, that's kind of the heart of the reason in the end that I voted no on this, on advancing this resolution. And by the way, they wanted us to advance this resolution, bring it to the state legislators, to the governor's office, to the congressional delegation, and the president's office after, if it was supported, which I said, we have no authority to do that. But the heart of it is city commission meetings are for conducting the business of the city. And I do not, and the citizens I talk to, the residents, and I talk to many who said, stay out of this. They do not want to see city commissions become a platform for national and international issues for which the city has no authority.
Okay. Well, I mean, and this is a talk show host, not a Fargo City Commissioner. I personally would not have minded if it passed, just simply because I think Netanyahu has gone too far. But I completely respect, you know, your position. no different than what I respected Mayor Carlson on the Moorhead side, the position that she took and that she was put in a position to basically have to take. So let me ask you this. The city of Fargo, I spoke to this earlier. If you look at the growth areas, if you look at the areas that are producing revenue that basically runs the state, in large part, you know, it's ag and oil. I get that. But a lot of that ag comes through here. Through the form of selling equipment, whatnot. Do you think that at times we're going to be able to keep up? And by this, Denise, I'm talking specifically about a workforce. Because right. I don't know too many employers in Fargo where if you were a capable worker and you came in and said, do you have a job for me, that wouldn't be hired in 5 minutes.
I agree with that. Right. Workforce is one of the number one issues right now.
So how do we fix that?
Well, I think we need to partner with the right people. And I know the chamber, this is very much workforce is one of their priority issues. I just came from a chamber event, Eggs and Issues, with all of the chiefs and the two sheriffs about public safety. And I think as part of a community, we have to work with the right partners to find creative solutions. I think we have resources within our New American community that aren't being tapped, and we're not, and they want to work, and they want the help to get the jobs, the training that they need to be able to get the jobs. Let's have real practical solutions to address this problem in an innovative way.
See, you mentioned New Americans, and I've been screaming that into this microphone for years now, which is, what are we afraid of? Why in the world wouldn't we take a viable workforce that can be great neighbors, that might look a little different than us, that might speak a little different than us, might do all of those things. But you know what? They're doing jobs that we so desperately need done.
Right.
And so the chamber, to me, has spoke to it. And I think that she's stuck her neck out a little bit with certain businesses by saying it. But I'm not sure in the end that they've been aggressive enough about it nationally, because you talk about things nationally, taking positions nationally. This workforce issue to be addressed has to be solved nationally first.
I agree that. And some of our partners, too, of course, there's our congressional delegation, our state legislature. How can we literally think differently about solving for this problem in North Dakota, knowing what an incredible community it is, what an incredible part of the country it is, and the opportunities that are here? So I it will be us coming together to solve this problem.
Well, do you think we give enough examples of how it works? I mean, do you think that we tell the story of Abby's business and how she's short employees, but the employees that she has are New Americans and they're some of the hardest working people in the world? Do we find those narratives to tell?
I think we can do a better job of that. I will tell you, I regularly meet with members of the New American community who are frustrated about this issue, and I will continue to meet with them. And again, I think it comes down to, are the right stakeholders at the table to have a real conversation about practical solutions to solve this problem?
Are we racist? I mean, really, it comes down to that. It's either they're not here because they don't want to be here around us, or they can't find housing, or, you know, and one of the things could be that they don't feel welcome. And I don't think that we, in the end, take just a step back and ask ourselves the tough questions like the one I just asked you, which is, are we stopping progress from happening like this because we have some belief about a race that we shouldn't have?
Well, I can tell you that there is data that shows that there are discrepancies, for instance, in loans to minorities, in housing issues, in a number of issues across the board. When it comes to growth in Fargo, there are discrepancies when it comes to race. So, you know, I would hope collectively as a community we are welcoming, you know, ideally, and that we are really trying to solve for these problems and issues in Fargo so that our community continues to thrive. But there are data that prove that there are some discrepancies when it comes to how different minorities are treated.
The one thing that we need to talk about before I let you out of this studio is where you want Fargo to be 5 years, 10 years from now. So I don't care if you have another meeting, I'm going to hang on to you.
Okay.
Denise Kolpak, Fargo City Commissioner. Fargo City Commissioner Denise Kolpak is here with us on News and Views. Commissioner, One of the things that I wanted to ask you, as a, you know, one of the individuals, a group of five that makes the big decisions that affect the city and where you're going to go, is where do you want it to go in 10 years? Where do you see Fargo?
So we are just wrapping up some really good, solid work on the growth plan for Fargo, knowing that the diversion is going to, you know, basically define our borders. And now what do we do with infill? What do we do in South Fargo? What do we do in North Fargo? And so I'm really excited. In fact, it was just 2 weeks ago we sat down. I sat down with the consultants following the last city commission meeting and had more of a deep dive. So the work that's coming is very practical, and the results of this study are very tangible, and so more to come there. A lot more to come there. There's going to be different stakeholder groups meeting to think through this and where do we want the growth to go as a community. But we've got a good framework in place to do it.
I think that you've got major challenges. Yes. Number one, everybody comes to you when they need, and by that I mean help.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people in your public school system that are here in your public school system because of the fact that they can't find the help they need in their own school system, which adds cost. You've got growth on the south end of your city to beat the band, which means you're going to have special assessments. You're going to have all of those things. Basically, you don't control the school board. I get it. I understand it. But you do control water, sewer, those type of issues. There's talk about getting rid of property taxes. Completely eliminating property taxes. Where are you at when it comes to that?
I think it would be crippling for a city's budget to eliminate property taxes. And the current proposal for that, the long-term plan isn't there once the legacy funds, they'll be frozen at this year's rates if it passes. So where does that increased cost for the future years of revenue come from for a city? And it's going to have to come from other sources of revenue. So what does that mean? What's the taxing ability of a city and a municipality to fill those gaps? And I just think it will really unravel the current system as we know it.
Okay. Let's get to Larry. Larry, you're on with Denise Kolpak. Go ahead. Go ahead, Larry. All right. I think we lost him. The other one. Okay. Let's get to Keith. Keith, you're on with Denise Kolpak. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. I have two issues I want to touch on. The first one is that you were talking about the vote that the city took on with that conflict overseas.
Yes.
What difference does that make? They're going to continue to fight until they just get sick of fighting. Why don't you... I think we need some more politicians like Jesse Ventura was in Minnesota. Get off your rear and do some real good. You know, this stuff about, like I said, they're gonna continue to fight until they're sick of fighting.
Well, I appreciate your comment. It's why I voted against forwarding the resolution that was brought to us from the Human Rights Commission. I don't think it's a city issue that we should be taking on. We have no authority to intervene in a global conflict, and it takes away from the work that we were elected to do and the oath of office that we took in a nonpartisan position.
Happy you have the job? Still enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. Someone just asked me that the other day, and I said, you know, that's also a choice to enjoy what you do and bring the right attitude every day to the office. And I try to do that, and I try to know what I'm doing and make the best decision with the information I have at the time.
See, this is the difference between you and being on the city commission in Matador. How many calls did you get last month on dogs barking?
Dogs barking. I don't think I got a single
exactly.
call.
Exactly. You got it easy. You have it incredibly easy.
Well, except my dog barking. But
I saw a mayor one time tell a neighbor that he talked to the dog, and he talked to the dog, and the dog said he'd quit barking when his neighbor did.
Okay.
Small towns.